Hello everyone, I'm from Ireland. Well, I'm talking about Alaa Abd El Fattah. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. Ironically enough, his name is almost the same as the military dictator of Egypt. So, Mr. El Fattah, he is 30, sorry, he is 44 years old, and born in Egypt to Egyptian parents, although his mother was born in the United Kingdom. Now, I presumably she claimed British citizenship. But so far as I know, he'd never been to the United Kingdom, but very recently didn't regard himself as British, had never attempted to claim British nationality until about 2021. So his father was a lawyer, his mother was a mathematician, and they were both dissidents, human rights activists. Remember, Egypt has been a military dictatorship almost throughout its history. Obviously, you go back to before that Free Officers Movement revolution about 1952. It was a monarchy, almost an absolute monarchy, some veneer of parliamentarianism, and so on. He comes from a nominally Sunni Muslim family, not particularly religious. So his parents were, left intellectuals. His father arrested by Mukhabarat, the intelligence service, tortured, jailed for 5 years. I mean, it's well known that Egypt had a bad human rights record under Hosni Mubarak. But Hosni Mubarak was fairly pro-Western. He maintained peace with Israel that Anwar al-Sadat, his predecessor, had made, and so on. He boosted the economy, happily accepted Western aid. He opened up to more tourists, and so forth. And he wasn't quite a Shariat state. He was much more moderate than Saudi Arabia. Still wasn't completely secular. So Egypt, where to this day an Egyptian woman has been jailed for outraging public decency because she wore a dress that showed her legs and things like that, or suggesting that having a child if unwed is acceptable. A woman was imprisoned for that. This is staggering. Well, homosexuals are terribly persecuted, where Shia Muslims are heavily discriminated against. Even the Coptic Christian minority have a hard time. Would goodness, so on. So, anyway, he was a software developer, but since 2006, he'd been taking part in street protests. And the government is fairly intolerant of this, even though technically it's not a crime. And almost any peaceful protest, they'll call it a riot. They'll say it's incitement to violence that's threatening the constitutional order and so on. He's also opposed Al-Ikhwan, the Muslim Brotherhood, or Al-Ikhwan Al-Islami, and so on, because he is a secularist. Now, the government didn't like the Muslim Brotherhood, but they did allow them as the only thing really outside the government, partly because it had carried out some charitable activities and it was the only outlet for dissent, but had to be muted and so on. So, after the Arab Spring 2011, the military dictatorship took over, overthrew, and imprisoned the only fairly elected president of Egypt ever. So yeah, he was in and out of jail a lot on hunger strike. So there's no question his dedication to his cause. Now, coming to the bad bit, the monstrous and revolting things that he said online, that doesn't mean that the Egyptian military dictatorship is good. It is a malevolent dictatorship, and I suppose it could be worse. They could have a civil war for 14 years, like Libya. It's not as cruel as the Syrian regime. It hasn't massacred that many people. I mean, there was a Tahrir Square massacre that massacred hundreds of people, or likewise in a football stadium. So there's only a few hundred each time, not a few thousand, but yeah, it's still murderous, no question about it. But this man, just because he's bad, it doesn't mean that his enemies are good. They definitely are bad. And got to hand it to him, he ha has got valor. He's willing to suffer for his beliefs, despite some of his beliefs being absolutely rebarbative. But when he was in jail, it turned out there's a way out. Because his mother was London-born, he could claim British nationality, which he did. Now, Priti Patel was the Home Secretary at the time, Conservative. She strove not to do so. I think she felt it was setting a precedent not to grant it to him. But eventually, the lawyers determined that under the British Nationality Act, it was unavoidable. She could not deny him his right, however bad a person he is. And here are some of the choice statements he's made. I'm telling you that I hate white people. And go on to say about British people, they are dogs and monkeys. Now, you may not realize just how insulting the word dog is to Arabs. Dog is the filthiest beast in the world to them. It's like saying rat in other languages. I support killing any colonialists and especially Zionists, right? Quote, close quotation, saying that killing such people is heroic. Later on, 2010, he's saying, there was no genocide against Jews by Nazis. After all, there are many Jews left. So, okay, he did speak up for free expression and the right to protest, and okay, all that is noble, but Holocaust denial is not. So this guy is in cloud cuckoo land to be charitable, denying things which are proven facts. Staggering. And then he says, I am a violent person and I advocate for the killing of all Zionists, including civilians. Close quotation. So that is terrorism straight there. Willfully targeting civilians. That is terrorism. No other way about it. And the thing is, words have consequences. I don't think anyone thinks he committed an act of violence, but others who did were partly be inspired by what this chap had to say. And he says, now my real criticism of these post-police murder riots is the wrong focus. Go burn the city or Downing Street or hunt police fools. Close quotations. That's about riots in 2001 in the UK, which left a couple of people dead. Neither of them were police officers. Police are not human. Close quotation. They don't have rights. We should just kill them. Close quotation. Now, okay, I try to be understanding. He'd been subjected to police brutality. Not saying all Egyptian police officers are, but a serious number are bad. And police brutality in Egypt is almost endemic. And often severe tortures is very, very well documented. I mean, it's indisputable that's the case. So maybe because his experience of the police was horrendous, he thought police all around the world are wicked. And I castigate the police in the United Kingdom. But they certainly are human, and I don't want them to come the least of harm, and I've never approved of the least act of violence against any of them. And by the way, I don't think they torture people in the United Kingdom ever. Not for a long time. Not since maybe the 70s. And so it goes, oh yeah, I am a racist. I don't like white people. And so it goes on. Okay, so should this guy get his citizenship? And so some people strive might and main, and all the great and the good said that he should. And eventually it was granted to him. And now the Foreign Commonwealth Office in the United Kingdom said, the government condemns Mr. Al-Fatah's historical tweets and considers them abhorrent. Close quotation. Well, they certainly were revolting. But all these leftist lobbies were queuing up to demand he get a citizenship. Now, actually, I agree with them. He's a completely despicable individual, but racists have rights too. And we can't say that people are racist, that they don't get their citizenship stripped from them. And by the way, according to the leftists, basically everybody's a racist. Mathematics is racist. If you're white, you're automatically racist. I don't know. GCSEs, exams are racist. Statues are racist. The law, the police, absolutely everything is racialist. So everybody never gets citizenship. This is how preposterous it gets. But a soi-disant racist, an absolutely vicious racist, who openly encouraged murder, and no joke, he got his citizenship. But, you know, even wicked people, even those who are in prison for murder, they have the citizenship, and it shouldn't be taken away from them. So one thing you shouldn't have taken away from you, even with the day of the death penalty, people were executed, their citizenship was not denied them before they were topped. And so on. So he finally got out of prison, and then he was allowed to leave Egypt on condition he never ever come back. Now, Mr. Al-Fatah, to be fair to him, has apologized, and he said that their meaning, they were twisted out of their meaning. Preposterous. They weren't. This is very straightforward. They're in plain language. This is a pathetic and ridiculous attempt to deny or deflect what he said. He said he unequivocally apologizes. Okay, that's a good thing. Now, you know, if he'd said these things as a teenager, he could be more forgiving. He was saying these things into his 30s, I don't know, maybe into his 40s. He does not have the excuse of idiocy. He's a highly intelligent and educated chap, and often he wrote a lot of these things in English. But, you know, the European Green Left, they wanted to get the Sakharov Prize. He was a gallant Soviet dissident, Anatoly Sakharov, a nuclear scientist. And now it's true, he was a political prisoner, even though his views are nauseating. So he's here in the United Kingdom. I hope he's going to grow up. And it's mostly white people who are trying to save him. He hates whites. Well, the UK is about 80% white. Why is he here? I suppose it's better than being in an Egyptian dungeon. So that's him. I know we all make mistakes, but this is not one or two mistakes. And I read an article in the Daily Telegraph by Jonathan Pollard, editor of the Jewish Chronicle. And he's agreeing that actually Al-Fatah should be here, saying should have been granted a nationality. I mean, ideally not, but legally there was no way to prevent him getting it. So he did get it. And once he's got it, he's got to have the same rights as everybody else. And that's, you know, the likes of people like Meghan Markle think that Oh, no, you're only British if you agree with me. You're not. That's good people, that's bad people. And there are plenty of evil people. And they have citizenship too. And they have rights. And that's the thing about human rights. They apply even to nasty people like Mr. Al-Fatah.